Earlier this month, we interviewed Tom Rose about his book, Freeing the Whales, How the Media Created the World's Greatest Non-Event. It's a report on how the media handled the story of the three gray whales trapped in the ice of Barrow, Alaska in 1988. After we aired the interview, we heard from several residents of Barrow who felt Rose misrepresented Barrow and their way of life. To get a sense of Barrow from the perspective of a native Alaskan, a couple of people steered us to Roy Amalek, a native Inupiat whaler. Malek was also the person who discovered and reported the three trapped whales in 1988. Commercial whaling is banned by the International Whaling Commission, but the Inupiats are allowed to continue their subsistence whaling of the bowheads. The commission sets an annual whale quota. The whaling season lasts about 4 months. For the remainder of the year, Amalek works for the school district. His uncle is the mayor of Barrow. We invited him to station KBRW in Barrow, Alaska, to discuss the traditional whale hunt. He told me he's from a whaling family.
My great-grandfather was, in fact, a good whale hunter, and my grandfather's brothers are, in fact, still whaling. They do catch a whale every year, and my father is a whaling captain, and he catches whales, and I am on his crew.
Who taught you how to whale, and how old were you when you started learning?
I was practically 10 years old. I started from the bottom of the crew. I had chores to do, wash dishes, make coffee, make sure that the stove is on, always on all night, and stuff like that. I've learned that since I was taken out on the ice, and I was told, you have to learn. And from there, I've gone to becoming a co-captain of my father's crew.
And when you talk about keeping the oven on and washing dishes, you're not talking about in the boat.
No, we're talking a different subject here. We always camp out on the ice. We have a tent, Coleman stoves, stuff like that. And we have grub boxes, which you call coolers. We do have those. We keep our food in there. And we do, in fact, live out on the ice for a period of 3 to 4 weeks.
And while you're sleeping out on the ice, you're watching for whales?
Yes, we have a set of two groups. One is the day shift and one is the night shift. There's nobody that goes to sleep all at once, so we're always constantly on alert.
How has whaling changed from the days your great-grandfather did it?
Back then, it was a lot harder to land, and it's a significant difference. We do have motorized snow machines more than we did. My grandfather did with his dog teams.
How is the boat that you use different?
The spring hunt we do use, there's no difference. We do use the same skin boats like they have for hundreds of years. We do paddle.
What about the weapons that you use to actually hunt the whale?
How have they changed
from your great-grandfather's time?
The weapons we use were brought up back in the late 1800s, which we do use as of today. We use the bombs, which we use with the harpoons and also with a shoulder gun. We have a projectile that we put in the harpoon, and it goes into the whale, and that sets off in the whale, and it slows down the whale. I know we used three bombs last fall to land our 45-foot whale.
So the bomb, like, explodes by the whale?
Inside the whale, yes.
How close can you maneuver the boat to the whale that you're hunting?
The whales we come right up to is within a matter of just less than 3 feet. We even sometimes come right up to the whale and practically bump into it.
Has a whale ever overturned a boat that you were in?
Not in the boats I've ever been in, no.
Is it very dangerous?
Certainly from an amateur's type, where it is dangerous, and from my point of view, it certainly sometimes does get dangerous, but not a whole lot.
Have you ever been hurt?
Certainly, I've never been hurt doing any kind of whaling up here. Certainly not.
Have you ever been afraid?
No, I've never been afraid of landing bowhead whales.
Does the whale ever get very angry or ferocious when it realizes it's under attack?
Certainly not. We have been taught from a long time that whale that you are going to catch certainly gives itself to the people. That it's a long story. The whale just certainly comes up to the camp and offers itself. We do believe that in our culture.
Mm-hmm. And believing that the whale is offering itself, how does that affect how you approach the whale?
We do have a lot of respect for the bowhead whale. We have been taught from way back that in order for us to survive as a culture, we have to understand the lives and styles of and the movements of all animals. If we want to survive, we're going to have to understand the animals, the land, the sea. And I wish everyone would understand that we, as Inupiat people, have to survive.
When you learned how to whale, you were taught, though, that that the whale gave itself to the people. Do you feel that way when you're bringing the boat 3 feet away from the whale?
Yes, I've experienced that quite a few times, landing the bowhead whales. I've experienced that, and the emotions after the whale has given itself, the emotions are spectacular. We know for a fact that we will never go hungry for that season. We have food on the table. We have food to share, food to give. And we certainly do understand the whaling up here. It's from my point of view, it's something that I wish nobody would ever take away.
Mm-hmm. Is there a ceremony before the whale is butchered?
There's not a ceremony. We do have a prayer of thanks, and we do cut up the whale. We butcher it up. We distribute it to the following crews that are on the ice, which we have like a crew share, and they distribute it to their crew members. And then from there, the successful whaling crew that lands the whale, they do take a portion set aside for the community to come and eat at the residence, the crew that caught the whale.
What's the best part of the whale to eat, and how do you best like to eat it?
Certainly the best part of the whale is the whole thing. We do not waste one bit of the whale. The only part we leave back on the ice is the whale bones, the liver, and the lungs. That's all we ever leave on the ice. Everything is taken back. A portion of it is set aside for Christmas and Thanksgiving. And in June, we have a feast. It's like a giant picnic outside where we do distribute part of the whale.
Are you worried about the bowhead whales dying out, becoming extinct?
I certainly believe that the bowhead whale will never be wiped out by the native people of Alaska. If there is to be any exploration of any oil companies out on the Beaufort ice, it certainly will not be the native people that extinct this boat whale. It certainly will never be coming from me.
For people who don't live far north like you do, it's very difficult to imagine what life would be like with 3 months of darkness a year. Can you tell me a little bit about how your life is different during those months when day and night are both dark?
When both day and night are dark, we do try and keep ourselves extremely busy during the winter months. certainly you have the ability to do a lot of things. I mean, you just can't be home, just staying home. You can go to the high school. What we have here, the swimming pool and the open gym where we can shoot basketballs and stuff like that.
Can you tell us a story of the most remarkable whale that you ever hunted?
The most remarkable whale in landing?
Mm-hmm.
It's always remarkable. You can't separate a whale from a different whale. The bowheads, you can't separate one bowhead like I caught last year and the bowhead I'm going to catch maybe this spring. There's not going to be any significant difference. It would always be a happy moment to land a bowhead.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Roy Amaluk spoke to us from KBRW in Barrow, Alaska. This is Fresh Air.